Thursday, October 25th, 2018. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. Coming to you on a Thursday because the work week has gotten to a point where if I don't have a show locked and loaded for Tuesday by Monday evening, my next opportunity to get a to get an episode out is Wednesday, and yesterday just wasn't working for me. So here we are on a Thursday. I like to think better late than never, but I'm sure others might be like, how about you just not late? So here's a development with The Better Life. I am hoping that this is something I can do for a while. Gambling has been a big part of my life since I was a kid almost, right? In some form or another. I was actually just looking through my parents, the last time they visited, they brought all of this stuff that was still sitting at their place. And as I was going through it, I was finding things from like when I was a teenager, like an ex-girlfriend made me, some knickknacks that I had that, you know, like for my room and stuff. And so much of it was gambling themed, right? With cards or dice or something like that. And, I kind of had forgotten that it was, that I was so outward about it even as a teenager. So, I'm excited to keep this going. One of the things that I'm going to do to keep the longevity of the initial conception alive is add a new bi-weekly routine to this. And so what I mean by that, bi-weekly, is that right? So what I mean by that is the interviews that I have managed to get and have been fantastic. But to not find myself in a position where I'm hand to mouth on putting out an interview, or to give myself enough time to land stronger interviews and the right mix of representation and stuff. What's going to happen from here on out with the goal, anyways? I mean, I shouldn't say it's definitely going to happen because life is weird. But the plan is every other week, there's going to be a traditional interview like I've had. And in the alternating weeks, I am going to bring on a guest co-host to just talk gambling, to talk about recent gambling that each of us have experienced, to talk about things going on in the news, stuff like that. Gonna experiment with that for a little bit. And before you give me any feedback on that, let's get a couple of those episodes out, and then I will put out a feeler to my listener base, like, hey, are you enjoying these episodes, or should I just go back to the interview ones and just suck it up and go back to doing those weekly? So let's get through like the end of November, maybe the end of the year. Let's get through the end of the year on this idea. If you're feeling it, awesome. If not, please let me know as soon as you realize, like, yeah, I'm not sure if this is what I want from The Better Life. I really would rather just have the interviews, and we'll move from there. So, but I do appreciate your understanding as I find new ways to provide better content on gambling, to not only be rewarding for the listener, but to continue being fulfilling for me as a host. That starts today, and I'm sure that if I put up a line on, hey, who do you think the first guest co-host is going to be, I'm pretty sure we all agree that Eric Rosenthal would be the favorite, and all of you bucking the favorite would lose, because Eric Rosenthal is, in fact, the first guest co-host. We are going to talk about our current form in sports betting. Eric shares a story from the blackjack table. We talk a little bit about sports betting popping up in other states, and also kicking off the World Series. The discussion on the World Series involves bets that I made before the series started and my mindset behind it. As you hear it, you will realize what I was hoping would happen didn't happen, but I decided to keep it in there because I wanted you to hear the thought process that I was in on how I was setting up that bet and why I made it. So that's why I kept that portion in. So without further ado, we will get into my chat with Eric Rosenthal, talking sports betting, talking gambling, talking blackjack, talking all the things that us gamblers enjoy talking about. Enjoy. Okay, well, now we can actually start chatting. Tim Lawson here, joined by, what is it, your fourth appearance now, I think, here on The Better Life? Maybe your fifth? Fourth.
I've lost count, my friend. I don't know. It's been a good run.
It has been a good run. I do remember, I think when you were on your third time, I think I tried to tease it in a tweet, and Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That responded with, "We all know it's Erica Rosenthal." People have grown to sort of anticipate you here on The Better Life. I like it. Eric, you and I have we've become a little bit more friendly with each other sports betting wise. Something we discuss a little bit more with each other now than we had in the past. Yep. You had a monster week last week.
I mean, anything that could have gone one way or the other all fell my way. I had a field goal with time running out, doink. I had an extra point missed by the most accurate kicker in NFL history. I had a coach go for two at the end of the game and not make – I mean, you name it.
Did you have the Chargers on a teaser?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I had the Chargers on a teaser. I had Baltimore – not Baltimore. I had San Diego, LA. I had the Chargers. Let's call them the Chargers. I had the Chargers plus it was actually plus three. I bought a half a point on that. Washington was in the mix. And it just – I mean, everything came up right. And then in addition to that, my friend Adam Bauer on Twitter is Travel Fanboy. Great guy, terrible handicapper. Terrible. I mean, deplorable, terrible. And as a joke, you know, he puts out his picks and then he hashtag fade the fanboy. So I took the opposite of everything that he picked and he went 0-3. So yeah. I picked up another three on top, which has happened. Two out of the last 3 weeks, I've done very well just fading the fanboy. No handicapping skill whatsoever used. I just took the other side of whatever he was on. So I went 9-0 this week, which I have never done. I do not profess to be anybody that you should follow their picks expecting anywhere near 9-0. 5-4 is a solid week. And 9-0.
That's fantastic. I did not do very well last week, due to two things. It started with the Monday night game, I think, and then it happened again, I think, in the Thursday night game, where I took a player prop on the over, and the player left with an injury when they were one away from the over.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that happened twice. I experimented. So I am a medium volume flat bettor, right? I've confessed this on the show. I think I talked about this when in my interview with Preston Johnson. One of my biggest challenges as a handicapper is I don't know when I have the best of it enough to increase my normal bet.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's simply because I know that there's so much that goes into really understanding what your edge is, and I never want to like miss bet an edge. And so, but of course, I saw a line that, man, like it was a soccer line, and I have my ways on handicapping soccer. And I was like, man, that's a really short line for this win probability. And so I took a big leap forward and like, well, I need to start knowing how. And so I bet a little bit more than I usually do. And sure enough, it didn't win. And I was like, crap. And so here I'm behind more in the week than I normally would be if I hadn't done that. Right. So like, you know, like I have my pacing on betting, and cause I want to make sure I don't want to lose too much for the week. So I do pace myself to remembering I don't want the entire week goes bad, I don't want to start in like too deep in the hole. And then, like, little things start going away, little things start going away, creeping back up, creeping back up. Then Game 7 of the Brewers and Dodgers comes. And I had the Dodgers to win the pennant at even money. And then I took the Brewers at plus 130 just to sort of hedge that, right? So that I was sitting in a, you know, Dodgers win. It's an even win. And then if the Brewers win, I get a little money on the side. And then the Brewers went all the way up to plus 160 on the series. And I was like, that's an atrociously mispriced line. I stared at it, Eric, like, I don't want to put more money on this because I'm perfectly content with just going into this with no risk.
But you were tempted for sure.
But I was like, duh, that is such a long. And then I was like, I can't. If I'm gonna be good at this, this is another. Like, I need to learn. I need to be willing to make bets on when I have the best of the line, even in situations. So I did it. So I took Brewers plus 160. And here's where I really messed up on it. We're going into Game 7, and the Dodgers were minus 110. And I thought about it for like a half hour, Eric. I was like, do I hedge this? And I was doing the math. I'm like, all right, if I hedge it, you know, this way, like, I can win a little bit on both sides. And then I was like, you know what? I was at a point in my week where if the Brewers won, I would be tick above, I would be back in the black, right? Whereas if I hedged it, I would still be in the red regardless of results, right? It would be a more, like, not as much, of course, but like this, the, and so I took a gamble, right? And the Brewers decided to put Rader in like super early in the game, which just, like, the Dodgers just had a pretty much, you know, weather three perfect innings by a Rader, and then they rocked the rest of the lineup. So anyway, so that did not go well for me. But what did go well for me, Eric, and this is where I'm in the next, for the rest of the season, I think this is going to be my approach to the NFL. What has gone well for me, Eric, are the games that I bet on Monday are winning or pushing. So on Monday, I look at the lines right away, and I'm like, all right, what doesn't look right? Like, just gut instinct, what doesn't look right? And going back at least 4 weeks, I have been fantastic on these bets.
That's quite a sample size you have there.
Yes. it's quite a sample size in, like, I get that, like, oh, yeah, like, that's only, like, what, four, five, six, and probably a total of six games, right, in that span. But the reason why that sticks out, Eric, is it's the only group of bets that has that success, right? When I look at all of the ways that I'm betting, and you know as well as you know better than anybody, I bet a lot of sports, and I'm a pretty, like I said, a medium volume bettor. Mm-hmm. And so when I look at, like, soccer's going one way or this way, like, there's no other part of the way that I'm betting that is having that level of success, even just through 4 or 5 weeks. And when it comes to the NFL, it's difficult to get a large sample size because there's only 16 weeks in a season. And so I've made my bet for this week. It's Saints +1. I'm probably going to regret that, not because I think the Saints are going to lose, but I think I could have waited and gotten +2, +2.5, because Vikings might get money. I'm coming out of, I wasn't doing the best job of tracking in the first couple weeks. Going back 4 weeks, I'm 2-2 on winning and losing weeks. Unfortunately, the losing weeks have been bigger than the winning weeks. So today, I come into today, Eric, and we're recording this on Monday. Coming to this today, and I'm like, all right, I need to turn this around this week, right? I need to get back even for this stretch. And the first thing that happens is I lose a soccer bet, and I'm like, God damn it, that's not how this is supposed to start. And then, of course, I think to myself, like, oh, maybe I should lower my volume a little bit, be a little more selective. And then I look at all the NBA lines. I'm like, I like five of these games. Why is this happening to me? Anyways, all that to say, sports betting is a weird beast.
It is. It's It's a fickle bitch, I think, is how I've heard it described.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, my good run this week could easily, or last week could easily turn around this week. Yeah, just quirky things happen. And we talked about this off air, right? Like, I don't think it's as important. I mean, financially, it's important if you win or lose. But the difference is where the line closed compared to where you got it.
Yes.
Right? Like, where's the number that you locked in at relative to either the movement on the line, right?
Yep.
And if you feel like you're constantly getting a better number than how it closed, I think long term you have to feel good about what that's going to look like.
So I am not getting that on NFL lines, but NFL lines aren't moving that much anyways, right? And they might, you know, unless there's an injury, they're not moving that much anyways. And I am notoriously bad at getting, like, I'm always like a point off of the closing number just because I never know how to like predict that stuff. Where I am really good, Eric, and that's why those player props that didn't go my way, why I'm not too worried about it. I am 50 cent. There's some player props where I am 50 cents or more ahead of the price, the closing price. Yeah. Most notably, like one of the crushing ones, Calvin Ridley, when they were playing Tampa, it was over 4 receptions at -105 on the over. Calvin Ridley, right behind, like other than Julio Jones, is Matt Ryan's go-to target and is just a slant route whore. If Julio's not open, Calvin Ridley, right? And I was like, 4 is so easy, right? And in my head, I'm thinking that's like the first half. Sure enough, like gets 2 like within the first 5, gets his third, and then leaves the game just before the half with an ankle injury. And I got that at -105. It closed around -165 on the over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
And I've had swings like that where I am getting the better of the price on player props, and I know that long term, and like you're joking about like, oh, how that's one thing that's keeping my confidence up is I'm not letting this small sample size of unlucky losses deter me, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to go with the math and know that in the long run, as long as you're beating the price, you know, it'll turn around for you.
Yeah. I know people that listening aren't all sports bettors. It's interesting, Eric. This the better life is hinging on the balance of content, I'm telling you. Because I get some people telling them like, hey, I love the show, not too much into the sports betting, but it's okay. And then the other people be like, hey, I love the show, I dig a little bit more of the sports betting stuff, but the rest of the stuff is good too. And I'm like, oh, well, this I don't know what to do. Like, we're just going to talk about poker for the rest of this to keep it.
Would you like a blackjack story to balance it out?
Well, I was going to say, if you have any, October is such a sports heavy month for me that I don't really even think much about other casino games. And so I have not really done much in a casino, because I've been so focused on sports betting when it comes to like the part of my life that gambles. Curious. And it sounds like you do have a table game story we can share.
Well, so this is going to fall under, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. Okay. But there was a whole table of people that were a little stitious. So, myself, Han from Chicago, Adam Bauer mentioned earlier, and Bethany Walsh, we were all at a travel conference in Chicago, and we decided to take a trip to Horseshoe Hammond, which is in Indiana. Total Rewards property. We make the ride out there and hung out. You know, this wasn't like a real like gambling wasn't like the number one thing on our list. But I mean, you're there, right? So you're going to.
Right.
So we settled into a blackjack table. And there are, let's see, it's the, at this point, Adam had taken off. So it was the three of us and two other players. And I mean, dealer's breaking almost every hand. It's just, and you know, like most of the hands, like we're not even sweating. It's like pat 20, pat 20, pat 19, dealer has a six showing.
Yeah.
Like it's just an easy, easy, like you're just waiting for her to empty her rack and give it to you. Then this guy walks by and he says to the dealer, "How's it going?" And she says, "Well, it's a lot better now. I'm breaking every hand." And she like turns to us and she said, "You know, when he was playing here, like he couldn't catch a break. It was really just awful." And then he sat down at the table.
And you all colored up and left.
Well, we didn't do it yet, but we all had that thought, right? So you see him reaching for money. And this was a low limit. I think it was like a $15 table. So like mid-shoe entry would have been fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, we said to him, "Hey, would you mind waiting till the end of the shoe?" Which was probably like a nice way of saying, you know, "Why don't you take a walk, buddy?" And he was like, yeah, fine. So he's sitting there. Now, I know his presence had no effect on the order in which the cards come out, right? Yeah. But you just knew. Yeah. You just knew. So he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, now all the players have 14, 15, 16. Dealer has a face card showing. One hand, two hands, three hand. After the third hand, everybody at the table just looked at each other like no communication, and we all pushed our chips up to color up all at once. There was no way we were going to continue playing with that guy at the table. And I mean we did leave, right? So maybe I don't know, but logically I know his presence had no bearing on the outcome of the hand, but it changed the feel and the atmosphere such that we needed to find some other place to play.
It's like it's like when someone comes in and buys in mid-roll at a craps table, and there's something about as soon as that buy-in becomes a little bit more disruptive than it usually does, like there's confusion on what he wants right away, or there's they're taking a little bit longer to figure it out. You just kind of feel it. You're like, all right, the vibe of this game is shifting, and all it's going to take is for the superstition that we all know isn't really true to come true for all of us to not want to be here anymore. And that's so funny that as soon as you sat down, you all were thinking it, because it's like it's also like the player at the blackjack table who is making bad decisions, right?
I'm sorry. I know, in general,
I have no problem with it. Like in play however you want to play. But when those decisions are negatively impacting the game, it's not that I feel like that's it's his fault, but it becomes sitting there and playing becomes much less enjoyable to me, because not only am I losing, but I'm also watching like crappy blackjack play.
So that's the argument that I think gets missed. We had an article on Travelzork. One of our contributors wrote a very nice article talking about how, you know, somebody else's hand doesn't negatively impact you no matter how they play. And I disagree with the article wholeheartedly. By the way, the author is a listener of the show, so I hope he or she is pleased to get a plug, but won't be offended by my critique. The experience is downgraded, and it isn't that I'm watching bad blackjack like you're watching a pickup game of basketball. It's that when that poor play at that third base specifically causes the dealer to make a hand or causes my hand to lose, regardless of whatever else is happening around me, it's not that the math changes. It's that I'm more aggravated by that experience.
Yeah.
Than I'm pleasantly surprised when the bonehead on third base actually causes the dealer to break by, you know, misplaying their hand. I don't enjoy that as much. It doesn't feel as good to win due to poor play as it feels bad to lose due to somebody else's poor play. And that's the reason to get up from the table and go find someplace else.
Yep. Tie that up with that person also criticizing the difficult choices in optimal strategy, right?
God.
I've had bad players question my soft 18 hit against a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's the one that gets questioned the most because amateur players... Actually, I shouldn't even say that. I had a guy who's like, I played this for 20 years. You never hit your 8. That's an 18, right? And I'm like... 18 is not a good hand, sir. It's like, I'm sorry that you've felt this way for 20 years, but 18 is actually not a good hand. And it's this is the right play. And then so it, like I said, you're just piling on to things that are making the joy. Losing already isn't enjoyable, right? But it can be like you can be at a fun table while losing, and so long as you're not like plummeting down into your pockets. Losing while having being at a fun table can balance itself out, right?
Sure.
If you're just sort of gradually losing, winning with a crappy player actually I'm winning, so I'm not. But as soon as there's one more negative to either of those scenarios, the player that's like. And let it be another player. Like, oh, here's one player who doesn't know what he's doing, and here's another player who's not criticizing the guy standing on his 16, but is criticizing me for hitting my 12 against a 2 because they don't know that's the right play, right? Yeah, that's the stuff that I'll get up and walk to their table for, because I don't gamble I gamble because I enjoy the game in which I'm playing, right? I'm not hoping to win money. That's not why I'm there. It'd be not like there's a really great byproduct, right? I would love to have a winning session, but I'm not sitting down at a table thinking like, oh yeah, I hope I win some money. I'm sitting down because I want to enjoy the game that I'm playing. Anything short of just crushing the dealer, regardless of these negative situations that are happening, I'm probably choosing another table if one or both of those things are happening. There's another variable. Someone's too drunk and won't stop talking to me or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the equivalent of somebody smoking 3 cigars at the same time at the table, right? Like,
yeah.
It's certainly their right to be there and do what they want, but it might make the experience less pleasant for you.
When I first got to Vegas, I was coming off. I was starting my what's right with it? Like, I had just sort of quote unquote quit smoking, and by what that means, I went from being a habitual smoker to sort of smoking just sort of when I felt like it. And so my first time or two in Vegas, I would get a pack of cigarettes and like sort of be like, oh, I'm here, I'm in Vegas. And I remember thinking like, oh, there's an ashtray here, it must be okay for me to smoke here. And I remember, like, by the time I'd finished that cigarette, I realized it was so unpleasant for everybody else. I always left the table to have my cigarettes after that. I'm empathetic towards most smokers' habits because I was once there, but smoking around people who clearly don't want you to be smoking there, regardless of whether or not the venue lets you, to me is done in bad taste. And it took me a little while as a smoker to realize that, but something I wish other smokers would pick up on.
You know, the other side of the argument is the smokers are kind of penned in to, you know, not that many areas that they can smoke.
That's fair.
Vegas is the exception. I mean, they have considerably larger smoking sections than anywhere else. But I might say if you don't want to be around smoke, maybe the smoking section is not the right place to be for you.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Something that we need to, I haven't said anything on Twitter because I was waiting to do here. Cousin Vito has put out episode 100. And as a podcaster, I want to send out my biggest congratulations on episode 100. I have conceptualized, produced, and launched about a dozen different podcasts in my life, and only three of them have gotten to the milestone of 100. It's a big deal. That's roughly 2 years. of producing a weekly podcast. And so it seems like it's still part of its infancy because it's in the same community as Vice Lounge Online, 500, You Can Bet on That podcast that have been around for a while that have pumped out a whole lot of episodes. 500 just put out episode 666. Holy smokes, that's a lot of podcasts. 100 something to sneeze at. It's a big deal. It's a big milestone. So congratulations to Vito.
You know, I think it's a bigger deal than it just being a podcast that reaches 100 episodes. Vito's a friend, right? So I think I know him better than most of your listeners.
Sure.
And I got to see, I don't want to call it the trials and tribulations, right? But like, it isn't just the finished product that goes into it, the changes along the way and the, we're all doing a hobby, right? So none of us are making our living doing this. So there's a lot of things that need to be balanced, and I'm really happy for Vito and for Mikey as well. You know, it seems that they've hit their stride, but they've found balance and they're able to enjoy it more than be hampered by it. And I'm not suggesting that they ever were, but they've found the balance with their stride, which is really, really a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Still a quick listen podcast for me. All right, I don't know if that's right with it. It's of the podcast that I will listen to within 24 hours of its release. I enjoy Vito's style of hosting, so much. He really feels comfortable for who he is and what he's trying to bring. Him and Mikey have a really, really entertaining dynamic. I hope we see 100 more.
Why stop there?
Why stop there? I mean, that's two more years. I mean, if like podcasting is, there comes a lot of points. There comes at least a point, at least once a year, I think, for every podcaster who wonders, do I really want to still be doing this? Or should I still be doing this? Even if I want to, does it really make sense for me to still be doing this? And just know that for every year that your podcast, your favorite podcast has been, is in existence and is producing, there's a good chance, I'm not going to say make a blanket statement that everybody goes to this, but there's a good chance that they've wondered to themselves, do I still want to be doing this? Or, like, does it make sense for me to still be doing this? And so for a podcast to be around years and years and years at a time, it's truly amazing. Eric, I finally pinned down the winner of the original NFL Survivor Pool that we did. And they were nice enough. I tracked them down because I wasn't completely sure who it was based on the username on NFL.com. Mm-hmm. And they were so kind. They loved the charity that some of the proceeds went to so much that they have offered that they told me to send a portion of what they won over there as well. So 70% of the buy-in went to the winner. And they were like, you know what, go ahead and take 30% of whatever's coming my way and send it over to Canines for Warriors as well. So,
very nice.
Yeah. Very kind of them. Canines for Warriors, benefiting from degenerates playing NFL Survivor Pools this year. very cool organization though, by the way. I only mentioned it sort of in passing when I brought up the Survivor Pools. If it's something that sounds interesting to use, because pretty much what it does is it pairs rescues, canine rescues, and treats them and teach, and they get trained to be service dogs for military veterans. And so I think it's, as someone, as a dog lover, and as someone who resonates a little bit with the challenges of being a post-military veteran, I think that it's cool that we have an organization that's strongly serving two needed parts in this world, right? Rescue animals and military veterans. So Canine for Warriors is that organization. Happy to support them through our degenerate ways. New Mexico, Eric. New Mexico becomes state number 6. to start accepting sports wagers. The what was it? Santa Ana? Okay, Santa Ana Star Casino started taking sports wagers. The sort of the miscommunication, not miscommunication, the part of the story that isn't exactly lining up, people are calling it state number 6 to legalize sports betting. New Mexico actually hasn't legalized sports betting. This is a tribal casino. This is a tribal group that owns this casino, and they are offering sports betting through the gambling pact that they have with the state. So the activity still technically remains illegal under New Mexico law, but the Santa Ana Star Casino is able to do it through the agreement, their gambling pact that they have with the state of New Mexico. So people are calling it state number 6, and I guess maybe it is because technically you can go there and get a legal sports wager, but it's only specifically at that casino. It's not actually like someone with a public company would not be able to just go there and stand up a sports book and start taking wagers.
So is this due to the class of gaming that sports betting would be considered? Like, does this fall under This caught me a little off guard, but I had done a little bit of reading on this. Is this the one where they were saying that this is considered to be like class 3 gaming, and the state compact allows them all types of class 3 gaming, and because it falls under that, then they're just running with it?
That sounds right, but I can't confirm that that's the detail in which this is done. All that I had read is that it was allowed through their agreement with the states. What did you call it? A compact? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was allowed through the compact with the state. I don't know what exactly the language is that is allowing that, but it sounds like you're on to the reality there.
Okay. Yeah. Again, this is with no research, and I don't know that it was class 2 or class 3. And the racetrack in California, I was confusing it with, is Santa Anita, not Santa Ana. So, I don't know that I was really prepared for that.
That's fine. That's okay. I wasn't. I didn't prepare you for any of this. So, now, of course, Nevada, the grandfather of all sports betting, Delaware, New Jersey, Mississippi, and West Virginia all followed after the Supreme Court case granted or struck down PASPA. New Mexico technically offering sports betting, although I'm not, unless someone tells me otherwise, I don't think it's actually New Mexico as a state legalizing sports betting, but that there is legal wagers to be made there. Rhode Island and Pennsylvania are anticipated to be the next states to legalize sports betting. Rhode Island's a really interesting one. I did not really think of that to be as much of a gambling-centric state to want to capitalize on this, but hey, more power to them. Pennsylvania makes all sorts of sense to me. New York and Connecticut also working on sports betting legislation, but those will probably come early 2019, whereas Rhode Island and Pennsylvania we could see before the end of the year. Other states that are sort of lined up that are working on legislation but haven't quite gotten there. Iowa, Indiana, was a DC's gotten something. DC, that one's not being talked about enough, I don't think. DC is super interesting because I can't remember what it is, but one of the council members, one of the lead council members of one of the wards there in DC pushed through legislation that suggested that they should legalize sports betting managed by the DC lottery. And it has some traction. It is making movement. What's really interesting about that, Eric, though, is because the District of Columbia is not actually a state, it would go to Congress for voting.
Huh.
And here's what's interesting about that, Eric, is Congress would need to vote on it within 30 days. Otherwise, it just becomes a thing. I will do a little bit. I'll do a little bit better research to describe exactly how that works for next time. But in general, if this were to hit Congress and Congress were to not pick it up and put an actual vote into it, what DC Council's vote on it would be, I think, is what what would pass, and that would then make DC sport or make sports betting legal in DC through the lottery. And I do believe the bill touched on in-person and mobile gaming. And so you would have a bunch of federal employees sitting inside federal buildings wagering on their phone, and there's nothing that could make me more proud about the District of Columbia than if that were to happen.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so that will be interesting to see how that works. And the reason why I point that out, the Congress part of it, is I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but there's a lot going on in a government right now, and there's a whole lot that they're trying to pay attention to, especially with the midterm elections coming up. If this gets through, if they can get this into, I don't know what the timeline's like, but if they can get this put into, sent to Congress at a very busy time for the House, they could get it passed just by simply Congress not having the time to care, right? So, we'll see. What else is going on? Mega Millions. I think if there's a gambling thing that is on most Americans' minds right now, whether they're gamblers or not, is Mega Millions. I didn't even look at what the number or not. You know that it's funny. Like, Mega Millions just becomes a thing once it hits a certain dollar amount, right? Yeah. It's north of a billion now, isn't it?
It's big enough that people walk up and down the aisles in my office collecting money to go. At that point, I know that it's a big number. Me personally, the only time I ever play the lottery is when you have these group things where people are, you know, pooling their money to buy tickets, because I don't want to be the one guy who didn't contribute. Right. So it's almost like, you know, I'm really just buying insurance and not being that guy. I really don't believe I have, you know, I don't have any hope of winning anything. Yeah. I just don't want to be that guy where everybody else made off really, really well and I'm the one stuck behind.
Yeah.
So it's a cheap insurance policy. It's not something where, even though I think they're saying at this point, like, it's positive EV, the odds are so long that it doesn't matter.
I'm with you. That's where I'm at. Is I know that it's positive EV at this point. I've seen people talk about that, but I can't bring myself to do it. It's such a long shot, and I would be a part of an office pool as well, if my office was a little, I think there's a few people in my office that do it, but I don't care enough to like interject myself and be like, hey, can I get in on this with you? And so I don't, more power to them if they get it. That'll open up some promotional opportunities for me anyway. So,
so you win either way, right?
Yeah. So I could win either way. Absolutely. What is it? We're coming into the end of, October, November is coming around. I know that there's a couple things going on in November. One that I'm possibly getting in on, I think it's leaning towards I am getting in on, and that is the Biloxi trip.
I've already got you down as confirmed, Tim. So you're good.
All right. Well, it looks like I'm going.
Right.
I'm sure you remember from my episode, 2 weeks ago, I think it was. Maybe it was last week, where I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and hiked the final 12 miles back to the car.
Yep.
Yeah, huge husband points. So I'm cashing those in for the trip down to Biloxi.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's,
yeah,
that's
so for any of your listeners that would like to join us, that's 11:30 to 12:02. There's a small group of us. 10 plus people meeting at Biloxi. Beau Rivage is the host property, but we're going to make our way around Biloxi. We'll probably at least make a short stop at each property so Tim can get a chip.
Yes.
And it'll be a good time.
I like it. Some conference championships going on that weekend as well in college football. So. Yeah.
And they have sports wagering right at the casino.
Exactly. So, yep. Most importantly, the Pac-12 championship is going on, and I'll have to check to see if this will work out. But my wife is a WSU alum, So one, the win over Oregon was huge. Watching College Game Day show up and that Pullman rocking that whole day, and then the Cougars coming with away with the win. I am hoping that there's a chance that they're in the Pac-12 championships. That way, I can get some action down and even probably put a $5 bet in for her. You know what I mean? Just so she got a ticket. You know,
is that the equivalent of just the tip? Put a $5 bet in for your wife.
That's the equivalent. Is the equivalent of there's nothing else for me to get you souvenir wise at a casino. So let me bet on your alma mater in the championship, and you can frame this and like put it in like your cubicle or something like that. So I don't know. So that's do we know what the odds are like down there? Can we expect decent table games?
You know, we should probably reach out to Mississippi Rob. He would probably be a good interview for the Better Life.
Yeah,
he was the catalyst for the whole trip.
Right.
He always wanted to come to the ones up north, and you know, that's his local spot. Why don't we do something down here? Sure, why not? But he's a gambler with a story with knowledge of Biloxi, so I think maybe giving Mississippi Rob a jingle would be a good idea.
I dig it. And maybe when we're down there, if we have 45 minutes of spare, maybe we can duck into one of the rooms and get a podcast fired up, do a little on the spot Better Life interview.
That'll work.
I think that'll work. Other than Vegas vacation Memorial Day, which we know is like a perennial thing, is there anything happening early 2019 that I'm missing? Has anybody talked about anything like that yet? If Gamblepalooza's coming back around?
We can make it come back around.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure Vito would be interested in joining the cause. We're heading the cause, you know.
Yeah,
we'll see where that goes. It's interesting that you bring that up. So we had a conversation this week. I've been going. I either go to the Super Bowl or I go to Vegas for the Super Bowl. I don't know that I'm going to do that this year coming up. I think the sports book at Ocean Resort is very much a Vegas style sports book, and I think I might do Atlantic City this year and not go to Vegas. Yeah, so
I'm super interested to see what, like, those are the week, like, that's where we're going to see the impact of legalization of sports betting, right? It's not overall handle and stuff like that, right? Because people are still going to go to Vegas for whatever reason and still get action down. They still have plenty of locals, plenty of big players that are going to play in Vegas. They might see a little bit of it, but it's the big weekends. It's the Super Bowl weekend. It's the first weekend of March Madness, right? It's these events that bring people in where sports betting is really a part of the experience. That's where I think we're going to see how this how sports betting is going to impact Nevada books.
Yeah. So, I mean, locally for me in Atlantic City, the only one that's really a Vegas-style sports book is the Will Hill operation over at Ocean. JVT is now recording over there for VEASAN, so it's expanding above and beyond what my expectations were. I think Borgata will have a really solid Vegas style book once they, you know, complete what they're doing over there. But it's enough, and if the idea is to watch the game and to have some action and to have the atmosphere of a Vegas style sports book, you know, for me, the Will Hill book at Ocean does it.
Yeah.
So I don't have to fly three quarters across the country to do that.
I guess just to say, not the impact it's going to have on the books, but the impact that it's going to have on Vegas. Cause I think the books are still going to get plenty of action, but I think,
well, sure,
people aren't going to people aren't going to go into Vegas for the Vegas party, right, for the Vegas experience, if their local casino is offering anything that is remotely entertaining, right? I think the books in general will be okay. The parts of Vegas that benefit from those events, I think, are going to suffer because people are going to be like, well, normally I went into Vegas because of not only did I wanted those parties, but I also wanted to bet on the game. But now I can get both of those things locally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, to your point, this year, 2018, I went. There was a group of us that did the Super Bowl party over at Ellis Island. I gave my action to Will Hill at Ellis Island. Well, now I'm still going to give the action to Will Hill. It'll just be at Ocean. So
right.
It's not going to affect the handle at all.
Yeah.
But the restaurants and the, you know, occupancy rates and things of that nature, there probably will be a change for them.
All right. Very well. Eric, anything in the gambling world that we haven't touched on that was of note this week or the past couple weeks?
Past? No, but we have a World Series about to start.
Yeah, we do. I've already taken the Dodgers plus 150 because that was a really poorly priced price number for the Dodgers. I expect to lose that bet, but it was.
Did you make the bet on a Monday?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think you're good then.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mondays are my big. Well, that's good because I got a lot of action today, so I feel good about that Monday idea. But yeah, plus 150 was 20 cents more than any other price I was seeing across the board. And Brewers plus 160 for their series, I was like, it's just too much. This is a positive EV play over the long term, right? And getting prices for these kinds of teams in these kind of spots. Short term, of course, I'm like, as soon as I bet it, I was like, man, the Red Sox are probably going to win. But what I'm hoping, though, Eric, this is what I'm hoping that the Dodgers can make it 1-1 and then possibly win game 3, kind of like the Brewers did, and go into game 4 up a game, and then I'm hoping that the Red Sox price for the series is low enough that I can make a hedge and sit back and just let one side win.
So I'm not opposed to hedging. I think like your real professional sports bettors probably don't hedge that much.
Right.
I think if they believe they have value, they believe they have value. I struggle with at what point you have enough equity in the bet where hedging is really the solid move.
To me, hedging I first consider the conviction I have on the original bet, right? So the reason why I didn't – with the Brewers and the Dodgers, the reason why I waited till Game 7 to even consider hedging was I had confidence in the Brewers through the series, right? And so even when they were up 2-1 or even when they won Game 1 and won Game 3 and they were up a game and the price there was a better price on the Dodgers, I didn't hedge in those situations because I still had conviction on the Brewers being able to win that series. Going into Game 7, though, my conviction lowered because I was like, I don't know, like the Brewers are cycling through their bullpen a lot. This Dodger team is more familiar with them. Who knows? Like, this might be the place to hedge, and of course I didn't, and it didn't work out for me. But in this one, because like I'm betting the plus 150 because I think it's a good price to get. But I still believe the Red Sox will win over the 7-game series. And so I'm taking the plus 150, actually hoping that either, you know, let's say the Dodgers go up 2-0, I'll probably just hold on to that, right? But if the Dodgers are up one game, either in game 3 or game 5, I'm probably looking to hedge simply because I'm like, I'm not sure if the Dodgers can actually pull this off.
Got it. So you're priced in and you lock in the value. I got
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Week 8 of the NFL. Man, NFL's already halfway done. How nuts is that? NBA starting, NHL's on its way, soccer is in full force. Man, it is a great, great month for sports.
What is that last sport you reference?
It's only the world's most popular sports, soccer.
Could you spell it for me? I have to Google it.
depending on what country you're in. It's soccer, the reason why I like it, it's purely a numbers thing to me. I'm not sitting around handicapping personnel or anything like that, reputation, spots, stuff like that. I have a couple sites that I look at on win probability, strength, stuff like that, and I put it all into a number that and I compare that with where the number is and where I think a number should be with those two types of teams playing each other. It's definitely not a perfect system. I mean, really there are no perfect systems. It could be stronger if I could put a little bit more time into it, but I'm generally just looking for mispriced teams and like globally. Like this morning, I had a bet on a game in the Turkish league, so I really am just looking up and down soccer lines from all across the world, looking at the strength of two teams playing each other and just finding mispriced lines.
So, I can totally appreciate. You feel you have an edge and you want to put your money down on it. The idea of gambling on Turkish soccer games, you know, like I've seen a junkie in a back alley betting on, you know, which bug would cross the finish line first. And I didn't think that was as weird as Turkish soccer. Well, you know what? Listen, if you have the edge, you have the edge. Go forth in Godspeed.
So let me follow that with saying, that one was really out of character. I try to keep those bets to much more established leagues, and not the Turkish Premier League or whatever their number one league is. Not that it's not established, but the less money in the league, the more opportunity for corruption, right? And FIFA, we know that lower leagues have had referee corruption, and so I try to keep my wagers to European leagues and Argentina and Brazil. Like those are the leagues that I and only like their top leagues, not their secondary leagues. I know I'm not making a case on what you were just making fun of, but the point being I'm not looking for is there a pickup game going on in Nigeria? Let me get one of the sides. Who's a dog? Give me the underdog. It was more like I was browsing through because there weren't a lot of games going on in some of the bigger leagues. This one just happened to stand out when I was looking through some of the stronger teams that were playing today. So.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's a middle school in Kazakhstan that should be priced at -130. I saw the line at -150. What are you going to do?
I'm taking the dog, definitely, right? I mean, if they're overpriced like that, give me the dog for sure.
All right.
Yeah. I could talk about this nonsense for forever. It's pretty amazing. Soccer, I will say, though, when the Women's World Cup comes around, man, I cannot wait to bet on that. I cannot wait. The women – here's what sucks, though. Other than maybe against two teams that'll be in that World Cup, the United States will be too steep of a favorite to bet on them from match to match. But I do think that going into it, it'll be tough for – I don't think every book's going to price them correctly to win the whole thing. And I think I've said this on the podcast before. If the women's United States soccer team is even money or better to win the whole thing, I'm taking it. That's how good this team is. Anyhow, I will beat that horse to death, bring it back to life, and beat it and kill it and beat it again between now and the summer. So stay tuned for that. Eric, we have been chatting for a while, sir. As we tend to do. So we will wrap up here. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being a nice, thanks for letting me tap you into play here when I'm in need of an interview. I have like five interested parties, Eric, but the scheduling, this is the part of podcasts that people just don't appreciate, I don't think. The scheduling can just hinder how long it takes for an interview to really happen. But they should be happening soon, and I'm looking forward to all really interesting subjects. So I'm looking forward to bringing those to the podcast.
Looking forward to hearing them. Thanks for having me again.
Big thanks to Eric Rosenthal again for joining me. I give him a hard time that whenever he calls and I answer the phone and I address him as Eric Rosenthal immediately, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get used to just calling him Eric. He is a full name kind of guy, you know. You get to refer to him as his full name. So hope everybody enjoyed that discussion. The guest co-host episodes will be different each time, right? Because the subject that I would typically talk to that guest co-host about is going to change depending on who that person is, depending on what's going on in gambling news, depending on things that have just recently happened. And so looking forward to experimenting with those sorts of episodes. And in December, I will find a way to I'll send a survey out or something and to get your feedback on how you've enjoyed those shows and with the interviews. So yeah, super excited about that. We are on Twitter. I say we like anybody else is doing this. I am on Twitter at The Better Life. I am also on Instagram. Instagram is usually saved for trips and casino outings. So if you see a little break in content, that's why. But when I am out and about and doing gambling stuff, I do post on there. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is how you can support the show on a monthly basis. A pledge just can be as simple as $1, and you're going to get bonus content when I have it. You are going to get the NFL previews on Mondays or Tuesdays going into the new NFL week. I record a short episode about lines I like immediately and ones I've already bet, teaser options that I see, and I provide two games that I'm definitely not playing in NFL Survivor. So that's a little preview there. And then also, you know, I throw little fun things up for my Patreon, like little free rolls or something like that. When I get invited into other gambling opportunities, I let the people know. We recently, I think I got a few users onto ScoreX, which is like a stock market type endeavor for NFL teams. It's really interesting. We did a future bet free roll. I'll let everybody choose if they wanted to be a part of a short shot, mid shot, or long shot future bet for the Super Bowl. And so everybody got in on that. I've made those bets, and so everybody's got a free roll on that. So some fun things going on over at Patreon. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is how you can support the show. Tip your dealers, tip your cocktail waitress, and tip your favorite podcast hosts. Now that I say that, I should probably go tip my favorite podcast, huh? I should live my own words. And lastly, we do have a little bit of merchandise available to you. TheBetterLife.us/merch is a little online shop that we have. There's t-shirts there for craps, sports betting, and there's the Better Life t-shirt. If you are interested in rocking that gear at your local casino, use promo code YO11 for 11% off your purchase. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I will be back next week with an interview. And I got a few of them in the bag, and so I can't really preview who it might be because I'm unsure which one's going to end up getting recorded first. But of the options that I have, the ones that I'm currently scheduling, really excited to bring those to you. So good luck, everybody, in your betting this week. I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night, and good luck.